Change him, God, change him! I cried in utter desperation. This was the way I used to pray for my husband. For years, I prayed this way. Change him. These were the two words. These were the only words I knew to pray for my lifeless marriage. My marriage was dead and cold.
Hi, I'm Carol, and welcome to Women of Hope. Have you ever prayed this way? Have you ever found yourself begging God to change your husband?
Hello again, and I'm Tammy. Tara, it is so good to have you with us here today. And thank you for sharing your story with us. I'm sure many of us have felt that way at so many different times in our lives. And we would love to hear why you wanted God to change your husband. What was he doing that was so bad?
Well, listen, it wasn't that he was a bad guy. He's a great husband, and he's a great guy. He loved his family, and he's a great father. He loved his children as well. But I had just given birth to our second child, and I had just quit my job to be a stay-at-home mom. It was my dream to be a stay-at-home mom, to just take care of my children and our home. But instead of feeling joy and excitement in this new phase of life, I was absolutely miserable.
Well, Tara, I am sure that as soon as you said those words, there are women everywhere saying, I know exactly how you feel.
Amen. Amen. I was lonely. I felt very insecure. I found myself sinking rapidly into a bottomless pit of depression. And, you know, never in my life had I felt more isolated or alone.
Okay, now here's the question. You always wanted to be a mother. You've always wanted to stay at home and take care of your children. Why were you feeling the way you were feeling?
Well, selfishly, it was because my husband was not giving me the love and the attention that I thought that I deserved. I had, after all, just given birth to our second child. And not only did I feel like I deserved that attention, but I wanted that attention. And I needed that attention. Mm-hmm. It always seemed that that he was interested in other things, that he was working all throughout the weeks and then the week, and then on the weekends he would want to go play golf with his friends. Looking back, it was not the case at the time, but it felt like he wanted to be with his friends more than he wanted to be with me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was a great dad to our children, but the one thing that I wanted the most was for him just to be at home and to want to be with me. But instead, I was the one who was bathing the children. I was the one who fed them. I was the one who was changing the diapers. I was the one who was up in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. And so I just felt like I was on a deserted island of doing it all by myself. They depended on me for everything.
Yeah.
And then, to top it all off, there were things that needed to be done around the house. Mm-hmm. I mean, so not in addition to taking care of all the children, I cooked and I cleaned and I paid the bills, of course, with the money that he brought in, but I wrote out the checks to pay the bills. I took the dog to the vet. I took the children to the doctor's office. There was no time for me. And more than anything, I wanted to spend time with him. I wanted him to want to spend time with us. So I would get angry. I would get very angry on the inside. And there were other days I couldn't keep my anger in. And so what that would look like to my husband is I would start nagging him. When are you going to help me? Would be my, you know, the big statement. And instead of him really arguing back, he would just go quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And silence would fill the home instead of really angry words. And sometimes the silence can speak louder.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting because some couples have silence. Some couples each go to their own corner and you don't share what you're feeling. And yet, at the same time, there are other couples that do nothing but scream.
Right.
So you have loud arguing going on, and neither one of those is communication.
No.
Absolutely not communication. So how did all of that silence make you feel?
Mad and bitter and resentful almost all the time. I was not a happy mom, and as a result, of course my husband wanted to be out of the house, because who wants to live with that, with a woman who is angry and bitter all the time? And he, in return, became distant and cold. He wasn't interested in me or any of the things that I wanted him to be interested in. I wanted him to want to do Bible study with me. I wanted him to want to go to church with me. I wanted him to share his dreams with me, mm-hmm. but he was not interested.
Yeah. So figuring out that way then mm-hmm. to communicate to him mm-hmm. what it was you wanted without actually nagging. Mm-hmm. How did you do that? What did you do?
Well, to be really blunt and to be really honest, the only way that I could get his attention was when he wanted sex. That was the only time that I could get him to talk to me. But then you see, this would even make me angrier
yes.
because mm-hmm. it was his needs being met and not my needs
yeah.
being
yeah.
met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Tara, when you were so frustrated that you felt you weren't able to communicate to him, and the only way to communicate to him in your thoughts mm-hmm. was to just give him what he wanted and
right.
you weren't getting anything, what did that lead you to?
Well, to be really honest with you, I thought about leaving him. Divorce seemed to be the answer. But the problem was, is I had just quit my job. I didn't feel like I had my money. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like I had anywhere to go. And I really didn't want to leave him. I just wanted to feel loved and for him to give me the attention I wanted. I wanted him to treat me. You see, I would jump into this comparisons and I would see the way my friends' husbands would treat them. And it only made the problem worse, because I thought, why is it my husband treating me the way my friend's husbands are treating her?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think women internalize it, because their first reaction then is, what am I doing wrong? What am I not doing to make this work?
Right.
Yeah.
We have Tara today with us on Women of Hope, and she's been telling us about her home life. She felt angry and she felt upset because her husband just was not showing her the love and the attention that she felt she needed. And he seemed to spend more time with his friends than at home with her and the family.
That's true. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. I was not being abused. He was not an abusive man. I just could not understand why he seemed to be, quote, neglecting me. I kept thinking and asking myself, what am I doing wrong? But then one day when I thought, I have had enough, I felt like I was on that last string of hope in my marriage. And it was a cold, cold winter day. And he had left yet again to go play golf with his friends. And on that afternoon, I fell to my knees in tears. And I just began praying, change him, God, change him. Please, God, change him. And then I even began to doubt, is God even listening? Mm. And then I thought, does he even exist? Does God even exist? And if he did, why wasn't he answering my prayers? Didn't he see my despair? Didn't he care? Was God even real? Mm. And at that moment, I truly began to doubt that God was real. I began praying this way for years, yet silence. There was no answer. Mm-hmm. By this time, I was on the floor with my face flat in the carpet, tears streaming from my eyes. And suddenly I heard something in the quiet of my heart, and I knew that this was not my voice. For what I was hearing in that ever so quiet voice was not something I would ever say. In fact, it wasn't even anything I wanted to hear. That quiet voice in my heart was saying, honey, you need to change.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, I got mad. I sat up and I was trying to make sense of what I was hearing in my heart. And I was thinking, I needed to change. Excuse me? I need to change? I began to say rather boldly with great sarcasm, I'm the one who reads her Bible every day. I'm the one that goes to church each week. I'm the one who goes to Bible study every week. It's not me who needs to change, God. It's him. You have got it wrong, God.
And we never think we're the ones who need to change.
Exactly.
Never. We're always in the right.
Especially if we're the ones that are going to church, doing our Bible study or reading the Bible or praying. We're not the ones that we think. But again, I heard in my heart, you need to change. And I just want to make this really clear for our listeners that I did not hear an audible voice. I've never heard. It was just a still, quiet voice in my heart. And, you know, as I began to go throughout my day, that my anger began to subside and I began to feel humble and I began to think, all right, God, whatever you want me to do to change, I will change.
Mm-hmm.
I was desperate for meaningful change. I was willing to do anything. But what did I need to change? I remember thinking, okay, God, I'm on your team. Whatever I need to change. But show me, what do I need to do to change?
That's a really, really hard place to be in.
Yeah.
Because you look at your life and you're thinking, all right, okay, I've come to the conclusion, all right, I'm the one who needs to change. But where did you start to look to figure out what you needed to do?
Well, this is the really cool thing, because this is when God became real to me.
Mm.
That particular week, I was in a Bible study group and I was with a bunch of other ladies and we just happened to be studying John chapter 12, where Jesus is talking to a group of followers. And as I was reading that passage of scripture, it was as if God was speaking directly to me.
Wow.
The words of the pages in the Bible just seemed to jump off the page and into my heart. And Jesus says in John 12, it's 23 through 25, very truly I tell you this, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And you see, girls, I suddenly knew in my heart that God wanted me to be just like that kernel of wheat, promising that if I die, my marriage would come to life.
Wow.
Now, I don't mean literally die and put me in a casket. I don't mean that kind of dying. These words were teaching me a really powerful lesson that I still practice to this day, 10 years later. It's a lesson of dying to myself, mm-hmm. putting my own needs last. So let me explain to you what that looks like in everyday life. I would have to die to always having to have the last word.
Yes.
Which is really hard.
Really hard.
I would have to die to having to have my way all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to die to nagging my husband mm-hmm. every time he left the house to play golf. And it seemed that the Lord was impressing upon my heart that instead of standing with a baby on one hip and looking at my watch, pointing, okay, and when are you going to be home? It seemed that God was wanting me to say, honey, have a good time. And, can I just tell you that the first time I did that, I literally felt physically sick. I did not think that I could get those words out, but by God's grace, I got those words out that day.
So how did he respond to that, Tara? And what kept you being able to continue dying to self?
These changes were not easy, but God seemed to promise in that chapter in John chapter 12, verse 24, that if a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, that it'll produce many seeds, meaning the promise that my children would want my Jesus one day.
Mm-hmm.
And I desperately wanted that for my children. And so it was that promise that kept me going.
Right. Great.
So the following week, we were in John chapter 13, and we read about how Jesus served his special friends, the disciples. He was washing their feet, which was a very lowly task. And I wondered, all right, Lord, are you telling me I need to wash my husband's feet? But that was not what he was saying. God seemed to be whispering in my heart through John chapter 13, yet a very practical way for me to die to myself would be to serve my husband by taking the lowliest task in my home without complaining or arguing or even waiting for him to say thank you and just do it. So the lowliest task in our home at that period of time was we had raccoons that would get into our trash can. And raccoons are medium-sized furry animals that are found in America where I live. And we live near some woods. And at least 2 to 3 times a week, a raccoon would get into our trash can.
Oh, yes. They make a mess.
Yes.
Lids off, trash everywhere, yes. Bags ripped open. Oh, yes.
It's disgusting.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Disgusting. Now, by nature, I am a girly girl. I love to be clean and tidy. I like pink. I am girly girl. So to pick up smelly raccoon trash was horrifyingly
Did you
disgusting.
Put on your pink gloves and your pink tennis shoes and your apron and pick it all up?
Listen, I had some yellow gloves that I would wash dishes with, and I would walk outside with my yellow gloves on and the trash bag out and starting to pick up the trash. And it was so disgusting. And what made matters worse was that the first few times I did it, my husband didn't even notice.
Yes.
Well, didn't notice. Yep. Yep.
And so then I began to do it like at 5:15, right before he would come home from work. I would start to pick it up then, so that at least he would see me do it and I could get a thank you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, during those first few moments or those first few weeks, it was tough picking up that raccoon trash. But you see, it had to be a lifestyle shift, because Jesus seemed to be saying to me out of John 13 was that this could not be a weekly change or a seasonal change. Tara, choose the lowliest task in your home and do it. And so even 10 years later, the lowliest task in our home is we have a dog. And he goes to the restroom in the front yard. And Aww. So there are many days yeah. I am outside with
a plastic bag and gloves.
Picking up the lowliest task.
This is a really good point that maybe our friends need to be thinking about in their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
What is the lowliest task in their life right now? As they stop and look around at their lives, what is the lowliest task in your life that you could do to show that you have died to self
mm-hmm.
and that you are willing to give, even if it's down to that lowly task, like Tara picking up the raccoon trash or cleaning the front yard from the dog droppings? This is a hard place to be, but I also want to reinforce here, you're not doing that, and you weren't doing that to appear good
Mm-mm.
or to achieve anything.
Mm-mm.
You were doing that because God had convinced you that to die to self,
yes,
you couldn't hold yourself above doing anything
no.
that would be offering yourself as a servant.
No. In fact, out of that John 12:24, I just kept saying to myself, even as I would pick up raccoon trash, death in me
yeah.
brings mm-hmm, life yeah. in my marriage.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Death in me wow. brings life into
oh,
my marriage.
Wow.
And so other ways that I began to die to self, in addition to the raccoon trash,
yeah.
were very practical, everyday things. Instead of giving him your weak coffee, go ahead and brew him a fresh, strong brew of coffee. So I began making them, and then the Lord began putting it on my heart to take it to him, to serve him coffee in bed. Another way was that, and I still battle this, are the clothes that sometimes don't make it into the hamper. They're right beside the hamper. They're not in the laundry hamper. And, to quit having to have my way and saying and nagging him about yeah. even these small things, but to die to myself. And yeah. and then a biggie is to stop refusing sex in order to get what I wanted. Because
wow.
honestly, that's
wow.
manipulative.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the Bible is very clear in 1 Corinthians 7 that we are not to deprive ourselves, yeah. that my body does not belong to me. It belongs to my husband, mm-hmm. and my husband's body belongs to me, and we are not to deprive each other.
Yeah.
And
that's
when
right.
I begin making that a priority as well in our marriage,
yeah.
things began to shift.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
None of it was easy. None of it was easy. And in fact, during those first few weeks, I thought that I would die. In my heart, I wondered, when is it going to be my turn?
Mm.
You know, the Lord is so funny. He allowed me to see myself. I had a 2-year-old at the time, and he allowed me to see myself in my 2-year-old as my 2-year-old would scream, "My turn, my turn." It was as if I was saying to God, "My turn to be served, my turn to be served."
Very good, very good. Okay, so, all right, you've been to Bible study twice.
Mm-hmm.
And both times you came back with the conviction that you had to do one more thing. I imagine at this point you're thinking, I don't want to go to Bible study anymore.
Amen, Lord. I'm maxed. What's next, God? What's next? But you know, this is how sweet the Lord Jesus is. I was. It's funny you say that, Carol, because I was at my max. And the Lord knew that these were hard lifestyle changes for me. And so several weeks later, and yes, it was several weeks, we began to study John chapter 15. And John chapter 15, verse 5, changed my life. Jesus says in John 15, 5, he says, I am the vine, you, Tara, are a branch. If you will remain in me, and I will remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. Without me, Tara, you can do nothing.
Yeah.
And it seemed that God was speaking to me personally again, and he was using the words of Jesus to say, Tara, I am the vine, you're a branch. If you will make your relationship with me the most important thing in your life, you will produce a lot of fruit. But if you choose to do this in your own strength and power without me, all this dying to yourself and serving your husband is going to be for nothing. So what does it mean? It means to stay close to God by reading my Bible every day and praying. And this is what I call a quiet time, is spending time with God each day, asking him to guide me, to put the things that I learn from whatever I read in the Bible that day, putting it into practice, and just listening for what God has to say to me through his word each day.
Yeah, I think that's really important, because I think that sometimes we can think that by doing all the right things, we can somehow manipulate God because we're behaving or we're doing what he wants us to do. But in this particular instance, you're not.
Exactly.
You are specifically saying that God has spoken to you to say, you couldn't do this without me.
Amen.
And if you stay close to me, not only can you do it, but my strength will do it through you.
Amen.
So that is, I think, the turning point. You're with us on Women of Hope, and we have been spending this time listening to Tara's story, a real special story of how God has changed her heart when she thought that she wanted God to really change her husband.
Mm-hmm. She had pled with God for so many years to change her husband. He didn't seem to love her, and he wanted to spend more time with his friends than he did at home with her and the family. But what a surprise you must have had, Tara, when on that cold winter day, as you pled with God yet again to change your husband, you heard God saying to you in that still, small, quiet voice, you're the one who needs to change.
Oh, yes. What a surprise. I didn't know what those words meant. I didn't realize that my attitude, because it was my attitude toward my husband, had become so cold. But girls, it's been 10 years now, and my life and marriage are completely different. Mm-hmm. I don't even recognize that family anymore. I'm still serving my husband 10 years later. I'm still putting his needs before mine. But here's the difference. The most important relationship in my life is not my relationship with my husband. Mm. It's not my children. It's not my mom, whom I'm very close to, or my friends, but it's with God himself.
Amen.
And his son, Jesus. And what God told me in his word, the Bible, has proved true. And fruit has come, the fruit of a happy home where God and his word are honored. And instead of our children growing up with parents who don't like each other or barely talk to each other, that just pretty much cohabitate, they're learning that when we love God and we serve him, that they also will love God and serve him.
Mm-hmm.
I accepted Christ as my Savior when I was in the third grade. I was a young child. But for the longest time, even though he lived in my heart, I looked at the Bible as a good luck charm or just another religious book. I didn't realize how approachable God was, and that if we would just read it, that we would get to know the living God of the universe who loves us personally and intimately and who is interested in even the smallest details of our life. I used to think that God was this faraway God, only interested in the special people of the world, like the Billy Grahams of the world or the preachers of the world, not ordinary people, especially women like you and me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he does. He longs to be invited into the personal areas of our lives. He wants us to know him. He wants us to live for him. And through this, God became real to me. And now I just the passion in my heart for other women to know how real God is and how he can take some of the darkest of circumstances and turn them into just places of beauty is just only a miracle that only Jesus can bring.
Mm, that's right. And Tara, we thank you so much for opening up to us and for being here today with us and sharing your story so that other women can hear they're not alone.
No, they're not.
They are not alone. And that God is the one who created them. And as Tara said, he's the living God of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he loves you and he loves me and he loves each of our friends. And he cares so much about what's happening in your life right now.
I can't help but think that maybe now there's someone that might like to ask God to help them in their life as well. And because of that, I'm going to pray and I'm going to invite our friends to pray along with us as we pray and listen to the words and say them in your heart. You can say them after me, but let's talk to God about your situation. Dear God and creator of the universe, I thank you for creating me and for loving me. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who came to give his life for me, who came to show me that you love me and that you know what is the very best for me and that what you want from my life is to be the best that it can be. Today, I invite you into my life to help me to see what you want me to change. Help me to show my love to my family and all those around me. And I pray this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Girls, keep listening to Women of Hope. If you can read the Bible or get someone to read with you, you too will learn more about what God wants for your life. I pray God's blessings upon you and that you'll allow him to work in your life too.
We have to go now, but we do look forward to next time. We would love to hear from you. You can write to us in care of this station or at TWR Women of Hope. The email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. That's twrwomenofhope@twr.org. Or if you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit our Facebook page. We do hope you will be with us again. Have a great week, filled with God's blessings.